Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, over 200 children in the Northwest are awaiting an initial assessment from the CAMHS team. An Inishowen councillor is accusing both Donegal County Council and central government of not taking responsibility for the clean-up of rivers in Inishowen. Two new weather warnings have been issued just hours after the passing of Storm Finn. And LYIT has been awarded €2.7 million for its role in a new cross-border research centre for renewable energy projects. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up at about 5:15 with Kenny Harkin. But first in news, the government has failed to sanction a funding request to reopen the short stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital. As 39 patients await admission to the hospital this morning, Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin appealed to the Health Minister in the Shannon today that the €1.8 million funding request to reopen the ward and increase bed capacity by 19 be approved. The Minister confirmed that the proposal was not funded under the Winter Plan 2017-18. Senator McLaughlin in the Shannon today called once again for an end to the crisis at the hospital's emergency department.
You acknowledge that there has been an application for funding to reopen those 19 beds and to take the pressure off the nurses and doctors who are under impossible conditions every single day. You acknowledge that it is not going to be funded. And then you talk about a health system capacity review, evidence-based. What more evidence do you need? The numbers doubled from 2016. When you came into government in 2011, there were hundreds and far too many Donegal people on trolleys, mostly elderly people, remember, mostly people who worked and paid taxes all their lives for dignity when they get older. That was the situation, hundreds. We now have thousands. How can you not see that the evidence, how could the evidence not be more clear of the need to put more investment, more beds into that hospital? It is an absolute sin that there is a ward lying empty with 19 beds that could be operated, that we could solve this crisis for now in the hospital, and you refuse to put €1.8 million into that hospital. This response is unacceptable. I appreciate that you're taking guidance from hospital management in Letterkenny and the region, but it is shocking that it's an insult to the intelligence of the people of Donegal to talk about 5,000 people on trolleys, and yes, some of them got processed quicker than other hospitals down the state. That is not, you know that it's not acceptable. And I'm going to ask and appeal here today that the funding sort to reopen the short stay ward, that this gets dealt with immediately, and then we address the wider issue of Letterkenny Hospital later this year.
Two new weather warnings have been issued just hours after the passing of Storm Finn. A yellow wind warning is in place for Munster, Connacht and Leinster, while an orange alert for snow and ice is in place for Cavan, Monaghan and Donegal. Forecaster with Met Éireann is Liz Walsh.
Have to note that it's going to be extremely mild in the south as this low pressure system tracks across the country. Temperatures up to about 10 or 11 degrees over some southern areas of the country at midnight tonight, while a huge contrast in Ulster, temperatures only 0 to 1 degrees.
There are over 200 children in the Northwest region awaiting an initial assessment from the Children and Mental Health Service team. Figures obtained by Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty reveal that 204 children are currently on the waiting list. Of those, 16 have been waiting over a year and 6 have been waiting more than 15 months. Deputy Doherty, who raised the issue in the Dáil today, says the situation that these children and their families are in is not near good enough.
To think that our vulnerable children are languishing on a waiting list, with over 200 of them on a waiting list, trying to get the help that they deserve after reaching out to the state. We all know of parents, indeed I've spoken to some of the children who are waiting on these lists, and we know the conditions and the concerns that they're going through.
And you did raise this with the Minister today. Was there any answers given or anything that this will be improved?
Well, look, my sense of what the Minister said is that, you know, there's no urgency in this here. He said we need to do better. He said that the statistics I recounted about the failings of children in the Northwest by the state and his government are something that shouldn't be happening. The reality is that the impact that our children are facing now in the Northwest is a direct consequence of government policy. It is because of the recruit moratorium that was introduced by Fianna Fáil back in 2010 and the continuation of that by this Fine Gael and Labour government in subsequent years that has resulted in a major, major deficit in the support staff that is required to deal with very basic issues but very serious issues for our children. And this is something that I get very angry about, I get very upset about, and it's very hard not to be when you sit across a table from a mum or a dad whose child is self-harming and who can't get the support from the state services that they need, not knowing how this will all unfold for them, for their child, for their family. And it's simply not good enough, and the government need to stand up and take action immediately to address this issue.
The Special Criminal Court is holding a so-called trial within a trial to decide on the admissibility of certain evidence relating to the Regency Hotel murder. David Byrne was shot dead when a tactical team dressed as armed Gardaí stormed a boxing weigh-in at the Dublin Hotel in February 2016. Frank Greeny reports.
The non-jury court is dealing with the evidence of two detectives who identified the accused Patrick Hutch from a photo taken at the Regency Hotel. Before the three judges can rule on the admissibility of their evidence, they must first hear it. Detective Garda Jonathan Brady from Mountjoy Garda Station told the court he was 100% sure it was Mr. Hutch when he was shown the image of a man dressed as a woman at Ballymun Garda Station the day after the shooting. His partner, Detective Garda Fergal O'Flaherty, said he also immediately recognised the person in the photo but didn't openly name him when he first saw it. They both said they were familiar with Mr. Hutch after investigating another incident in 2014 when the now 25-year-old from Champions Avenue in Dublin was shot in the leg. He was charged with David Byrne's murder on the prosecution's belief he participated in and shared the intent to commit the crime. He denies the charge. Frank Rainey of the Special Criminal Court.
A businessman on Armour Island says action is needed to repair the lighthouse road on the island, which he says is deteriorating very badly. Gerry Early says last May he and members of the local co-op took a number of politicians and officials on a tour of the island, including an examination of the lighthouse road. He says much was promised, but while some work was done, the bulk of the road remains untouched and is in a very serious condition. Speaking earlier in the 9 till noon show, Gerry Early said while it is not technically a county road, it is a vital thoroughfare on the island and that should be recognised.
It has already been tarred, so in some shape or form, the council have taken responsibility for it. There are services that are, see that very bad patch where you've seen the road dropping off? There are actually services exposed there that are going to the lighthouse. So, you know, the council have to say, well, either they come out and say they're not responsible or they are responsible. That will be a start. This is not just an issue in Armour, and I'm not, you know, complaining, but, you know, I know that this issue is probably rife in different parts of the county. But until somebody comes out and say, OK, what it is you're entitled to and what you're not entitled to, then to me it's a very easy yeah or nay.
If you live in Arranmore Island, or if you're a business, I presume you pay your rates, pay your LPT. Arranmore Island is part of Donegal, and I don't see why it should get any less treatment than if it were smack bang in the middle of the county.
That's a massive point, Greg, and it's one that I am continuously making. Yes, we're Islanders, but we're also Irish citizens, and we have, you know, I've seen a comment coming up last night that we received $220,000 last year for roads. Big deal. We're entitled to that as much as every other part of the county is. So I don't want to be sort of put in a bubble where, oh, it's the islands. They do not or should not get as much as the mainland. That's, to me, is a fudge. We are entitled to the exact same services that the whole of the country get.
An Inishowen councillor is accusing both Donegal County Council and central government of not taking responsibility for the clean-up of rivers in Inishowen. Councillor Martin McDermott told the Inishowen Municipal District that 5 months after August floods, the issue is being passed from pillar to post and as a result there is no effective programme to clear rivers. He says the situation now is potentially worse than it was in August because the rivers have reduced capacity to absorb extra water flow. Councillor McDermott says the floods just after Christmas were a stark warning of what could happen.
There's no one, absolutely no one, whether it's in Donegal County Council, whether it's in a department level, there is no one taking any responsibility for the rivers. And if we did need an example, we had it 2 weeks ago, again when heavy rainfall fell. We were back in the same situation with people panicking whether houses were going to be flooded again, businesses panicking in this town here in Cairndonagh and all around any shown whether their premises was going to be flooded again. We've been saying this from day one, and the day I met the minister after the floods, I put this to him. To date, we've cleaned a few mouths of rivers, a few bridges, but the main element of the rivers has not been looked at.
And people are living in fear, and they too themselves want to know who's responsible.
Absolutely, people are living in fear, because a lot of these people, you've got to remember, even they did get insurance paid out, which not everyone did. But those people now will not be insured again. We all know that the rivers can't take the same amount of water. We know that the river in Clonmany needs to be cleaned. We know here in Cairndonagh that the Donner River needs to be cleaned. We know it needs to be cleaned from Glendaugher the whole way down to Thurvega. Everybody's prepared to do their bit. But these agencies and the department rightly or wrongly are hiding behind a lot of these agencies, and they're blaming agencies for not allowing this to happen. At the end of the day, the agencies are under the department, and the department have the right to come along and say, right, we are going to bring out a programme that's going to deal with cleaning the rivers.
Sport on Highland, in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Get behind Donegal in 2018 and gear up for all the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's almost 5:15, time now for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic games, and Donegal's McKenna Cup semi-final with Armagh has been refixed for this Saturday evening, the 20th of January in Ballybuffet. 6 o'clock will be the throw-in time. The tie was to take place this evening, but the Ulster Council postponed the game after an early morning pitch inspection at McCool Park. And as I say, that game will go ahead at 6 o'clock, and the winner will go through to the final to meet Tyrone. Now, that final was originally scheduled for this Sunday the 21st, but it will now be put back to a later date, with the break in the National League on the weekend of the 17th and 18th of February seen as the most likely dates to have the decider. Well, the Donegal Sports Star Committee have announced that All-Ireland winning manager Brian McAnuff will be inducted into the Hall of Fame at the 42nd Awards Ceremony, which takes place on Friday the 26th of January in the Mount Errigal Hotel. The 75-year-old Bundoran retailer led Donegal to that historic first ever All-Ireland senior football title success in 1992. The committee say it's fitting that Brian has been honoured as the 25th anniversary celebrations have just concluded. Moving on to soccer, and John Delaney says Martin O'Neill will sign his new FAA contract before next week's Nations League draw. The Republic of Ireland manager agreed a two-year extension in October, but has yet to put pen to paper. O'Neill turned down the opportunity to return to the Premier League as the Stoke City boss last week, but FAA chief executive John Delaney said he was kept fully abreast of the situation.
Well, he rang me on Saturday to say that he was going to meet Stoke on Sunday, which he did. I believe it was a far better financial offer, but he rang me up to say he had respectfully declined their offer and he wanted to stay managing the Republic of Ireland. And he came in last night, agreed terms. His representatives will be in town on Monday in Dublin, and there will be a contract signed prior to the draw on Wednesday.
A meeting with Newcastle awaits the winners of this evening's FA Cup third round replay between Chelsea and Norwich at Stamford Bridge. Elsewhere, 2013 Cup winners Wigan, they take on Bournemouth, with the winners to play host to West Ham. While Championship leaders Wolves, they travel to Swansea. All those games kick off at 7:45. In rugby, Jordan Larmour has been included in Ireland's squad for the Six Nations. The 20-year-old Leinster back is the only uncapped player among the 36-man panel revealed by Joe Smith this evening. Connacht second row Quinn Roo is one of the more surprising inclusions, and there's a recall for Leinster hooker Sean Cronin. As expected, there's no place for Racing-bound Simon Zeebo, nor Scarlets and future Munster lock tag Bernie. Ireland begin their Six Nations campaign away to France on February the 3rd. The French will be without Mathieu Bastereau for that game in Paris. The Toulon's centre has been banned for 3 weeks for using a homophobic slur against Benetton flanker Sebastian Negri in last week's Champions Cup meeting. His guilty plea was taken into consideration and reducing a 6-week ban by 50%. Bastereau was free to play again on February the 4th, the day after the meeting with Ireland in Paris. Meanwhile, England flanker James Haskell has been banned for 4 weeks for a dangerous tackle on Wasps Jamie Roberts during Harlequin's Champions Cup win. Haskell will miss the England's opening two Six Nations games. Well, IRFU Chief Executive Philip Brown says the union will review their policies surrounding the signing players with a prior history of doping. It follows the controversy over Munster's signing of Gerbrandt Grubbler, who failed a drugs test in 2014 and served a 2-year ban. Brown says the South African lock deserves a second chance.
I think at the end of the day, I think what we'll do is we'll obviously take on board the views that have been expressed both publicly and privately, and we'll obviously have to consider, do we need a policy, and how should we consider dealing with with that set of circumstances in the future.
In winter sports, Conor Steiglam made history today, becoming the first Irishman to compete in the European Figure Skating Championships. The son of Tipperary All-Ireland winner Richie Steiglam scored 43.05 in the men's short programme. Unfortunately for the 24-year-old, his score was not enough to see him progress to the free programme. And athletes from North Korea and South Korea will march together under a unification flag at the opening ceremony of next month's Winter Olympics. The games are being held in the South Korean city of Pyongyang. The countries will also form a joint women's ice hockey team. Their plans will be presented to the AOC on Saturday. In tennis, Rafa Nadal moved comfortably through to the third round of the Australian Open earlier today with a straight sets win over Argentina's Leonardo Mayer. Third seed Grigor Dimitrov has been given a fright. He was taken to five sets by the world number 178, Mackenzie McDonald, before prevailing 8-6 in the deciding set. There were straight set wins today for both sixth seed Marin Cilic and the home favourite Nick Kyrgios. Women's second seed Caroline Wozniacki, she needed three sets to see off Croatia. Yana Fett, while French Open champion Yelena Ostapenko and fourth seed Elena Svetlana were both taken to three sets before progressing to round three. Finally, for this evening in snooker at the Masters, Sean Murphy has just defeated Ali Carter by 6-4. Murphy now sets up a meeting in the last eight with Judd Trump. Later tonight, John Higgins meets fellow Scot Anthony McGill. That's all your sport for this evening. We'll have more sport tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Police and the family of missing 69-year-old Leslie McHugh from the Strabon area, who has been missing now for over 10 days, are becoming increasingly concerned for her welfare. Miss McHugh is described as being approximately 5'6 in height, of a slim build with brown hair. She was last in contact with her family at around 11 p.m. on Saturday the 6th of January. Inspector Alison Ferguson said searches are ongoing along the River Mourne and into the River Foyle, and police would appeal to those searching to be mindful of their own personal safety given the current weather conditions. Anyone who knows of Leslie's whereabouts or who may have any information to assist police are asked to come forward. And Letterkenny Institute of Technology has been awarded €2.7 million for its role in a new cross-border research centre for renewable energy projects. The Bryden Centre for Advanced Marine and Bioenergy Research will recruit 34 PhD students from across the marine and bioenergy disciplines and will be based at LYIT, Queen's University Belfast, Ulster University and University of Highlands and Islands in Western Scotland. The collaboration will see LYIT examine the potential for wave and tidal power generation in Donegal. In welcoming today's announcement, Government Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh says it is a credit to LYIT and their commitment to such projects.
There will be a partnership between LYIT, Letterkenny, Ulster University and with that Queen's University and partners in Scotland. LYIT will benefit from research graduates. Programme, there will be life science, will be sustainable energy, and that's something very prevalent and relevant to Donegal, where we will be looking at possible strategies for tidal and wave technology off our own coast. Goes to show the strength and acceptability and confidence other institutions have in the LYIT.
And for weather now, tonight rain will spread eastwards, turning to snow for a time. There is a risk of flooding with lowest temperatures of 0 to 2 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, an Inishowen councillor is accusing both Donegal County Council and central government of not taking responsibility for the clean-up of rivers in Inishowen. Councillor Martin McDermott told the Inishowen Municipal District that 5 months after August floods, the issue is being passed from pillar to post. There are over 200 children in the Northwest region awaiting an initial assessment from the Children and Mental Health Service team. 16 of those have been waiting over a year and 6 have been waiting more than 15 months. The government has failed to sanction a funding request to reopen the short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital. As 39 patients await admission to the hospital this morning, Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin appealed to the Health Minister in the Shannon today that the €1.8 million funding request to reopen the ward and increase bed capacity by 19 be approved. And Letterkenny Institute of Technology has been awarded €2.7 million for its role in a new cross-border research centre for renewable energy projects. The collaboration will see LYIT examine the potential for wave and tidal power generation in Donegal. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Wednesday evening, January the 17th. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of George Conaghan, Mount Charles, County Donegal. Remains will be reposing at Gallagher's Funeral Home at Station Road, Mount Charles, this evening from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock and tomorrow from 3 p.m. with removal to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Mount Charles, to arrive at 7:30 to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Friday morning at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in Frost's Old Graveyard. The death has taken place in Scotland of Mr. Francis Danks Campbell. His remains will rest at his daughter Joan Quigley's home at Crehanan Quigley's Point from Friday evening. His funeral will take place on Sunday afternoon at 2:30 in St Finian's Church of Ireland, Greencastle, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. The death has taken place at Brindley Manor Nursing Home Convoy of Molly Lucas, Cavan Upper, Killigordon. Remains will repose at her son Leonard's home, Cavan House, Cavan Upper, Killigordon, this evening from 6 o'clock. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 11 o'clock for service in Stranorla Presbyterian Church at 11:30. Burial afterwards in the Church of Ireland Graveyard, Stranorla. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Brindley Manor Nursing Home Patients Comfort Fund, care of Terence McClintock, Funeral Director, Town Parks Convoy or any family member. House private at the request of the deceased. Family and friends welcome. The sudden death has taken place of Helen McIntyre, a Hilly Buncrana. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 9:15, going to St Mary's Oratory Buncrana for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in Cock Hill Cemetery. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Daisy Muir, Queen of Smear, Creeslaw. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral service in St John's Church Ballymore on Friday at 12:00, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The death has occurred at Letterkenny University Hospital of Ollie Long, Carrick McGrath, Ballybofey. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home on Friday afternoon at 1:15 for service of Thanksgiving at 2 o'clock in Stranorla Parish Church. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The sudden death has taken place at her home of Elizabeth Smith, née Freel, 26 Townsend Street, Strabane. Removal from Quigley's Funeral Home, Strabane, this evening at 6:15 to the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. The death has taken place at Almagalvin Hospital of Matty Tai, 52 Fountain Street, Strabane and Formnave Railway Road, Strabane. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:50 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 12:30 p.m. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the British Heart Foundation, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. And the death has occurred of Terence Murray, Trusk Road, Ballybofey, and formerly of Strabane. His remains will repose at his home until rosary at 10 o'clock tonight. Fiona leaving his home tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorler, with interment afterwards at St Mary's Churchyard, Melmoud, Strabane. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital or the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow.